Dakota's website. Visit DakotaCooks.com for more details.
You're listening to 90.3 KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Buju, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Willard Mailbear Jr., Lakota artist who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in South Minneapolis. He's also the CEO and owner of Unified Theory Collective and is executive chairman of Art Shelf.
I was able to be an art tutor in St. Cloud in prison, and there I kind of found the power of creativity and creative fellowship and just what I was able to not only give myself by being creative, but the energy that comes out of you when you're being creative.
Buju, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo.
And I'm your other host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is more than a radio show or a podcast. It's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. And every week we have captivating conversations with great guests from a bunch of different backgrounds. Musicians, artists, community leaders, doctors, healthcare advocates, educators, language warriors, and so on. We have a great mixture of passions. So we talk with them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. And I can't wait to continue amplifying Native voices today. Cole, what's up?
I'm feeling good, ready to rock. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. Hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
our guest today not only does a lot of good in the community, but he also is a tattoo artist. And we've got some tats, Leah.
Yeah. Wait, how many tattoos do you have?
I only have two.
Okay.
One of them is quite extensive.
What do you call the extensive tattoo?
It's my old man in the sea tattoo.
But is that, it's like a
half sleeve.
Sleeve. So it is pretty detailed and big.
It's nearly a half sleeve. I'd say it's like right before a half.
So a little bit of a literature shout out there.
Yeah, yeah. I like that it shows not only like the sea, but also interactions between, you know, a man and a sea creature. And then also the best part about I like it is the moon. So the astronomy side of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also have a question mark that Dad got before going out to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I've always liked it, looking at it. So I got a replica of that. It's a little bit bigger and darker. His is like pretty green. Mm-hmm. So mine's like, you know, kind of dark. Anyways,
yep.
Those are the two. We'll see if I get some more.
That's right.
How about you?
Yes, I have four. Two are Lynx paw prints, which is our dudame. And of course, I also have a literature reference of Gandalf the Grey. And so a Gandalf rune on my left forearm and Gandalf contemplating walking towards the mountains on the right forearm. So interaction with the natural environment, literature reference. You know, I didn't try to copy you.
Not at all. Just copying me. Anyways, but yes, let's get to today's guest. Today, we have Willard Mailbear Jr. He's a Lakota artist who lives in Minneapolis. Willard is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo on the south side of the city, where he is also one of the tattoo artists. In addition to his tattoo work, he's the CEO and owner of United Theory Collective, as well as the executive chairman of Art Shelf. Both organizations are heavily geared towards bringing about creativity and getting art supplies out to the community. So we'll definitely want to hear about all those great things he's involved in and about his journey. So here he is, Buju Willard.
Hi.
Hello.
Howdy. There you are. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Cool. Well, we'll just get rocking then, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So Buju Willard, could you please start by introducing yourself?
My name's Willard Joseph Mailbear Jr. I'm an enrolled member of the Standing Rock Lakota tribe, and I am a Hunkpapa Lakota. I'm 38 years old, and I currently live in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Awesome. How are you doing? How's the family doing?
Family is good. I feel like all things in life, it kind of has its cycles. And right now we're in a really good place and trying to be the best parent I can be while being the best person I can be. My time with my two-year-old, I'm like 100% dad, you know, like on the ground rolling around. Emails don't exist. Nothing else matters. And then it's like the moment I get in the car and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do tattoos today. You know, I kind of have to put on the jacket of, you know, the professional and kind of step away from being the family person until the phone rings. And then it's like, oh yeah, dad mode all over again.
Yeah. It's fun being a parent. There's nothing like it, really. So Willard, is there anything that you're excited about you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. Currently just getting ready to introduce my new nonprofit project to the community. Definitely been nervous and overwhelmed and excited. I'm just really excited to continue to serve the creative community and just, you know, play a part in, you know, the positive impacts of creativity as a source of wellness to people that need it the most. I've kind of started to identify that as one of my bigger purposes in life, you know, besides being a parent and a sober person. You know, 2024, it's just been really fulfilling to be able to spread the gospel of creativity in my community.
That is really cool. Yeah, I'm just looking at your website right now, artshelf.org, and seeing more about it. The organization has a mission to harness creativity as a vital source of wellness and resilience. That is so powerful. How you can embrace arts and culture to be well. But you have a good board that you can lean on?
Oh, yeah. So some of the fundamental of Art Shelf is essentially to operate like a food shelf, but for art supplies, thus the name Art Shelf. So one of our board members is Kylie Benson, and he's currently the director of operations for Loaves and Fishes in the Twin Cities. You know, they, I think last year, gave out like a couple million meals. You know, I'm definitely excited to have his experience in the food shelf. And we're going to do something similar like that in Art Shelf, where individuals can fill out an application like they would for food assistance, and they would be applying for creative assistance. And, you know, we'll have pre-designed creative packages that we can distribute with literature and resources on how to best use those creative materials as a source of wellness. And one of my other board members, Holly Henning, she's the executive chairperson for Women's Advocates of America, I believe. She has a lot to do with Indigenous culture also, and she served on a lot of nonprofit boards. I'm definitely excited to have her experience. And then our other board member is Colin Cash. He is one of the founders of an organization called Sober Squad up in Mille Lacs. He's currently working for a really cool program up there. Can't quite think the name of it, but
Anjibimadising.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that's our board. And I think, you know, definitely excited about it. We've all put a lot of good work into it. So
you're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Willard Mailbear Jr., Lakota artist who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in South Minneapolis. He's also the CEO and owner of Unified Theory Collective and is executive chairman of Art Shelf. Do you, Willard, have an experience that inspired the organization?
Absolutely. 7 years ago, I was an active criminal in South Minneapolis and really had given up on myself. I ended up being incarcerated and choosing to not give up on myself. During my incarceration, I was able to be an art tutor in St. Cloud in prison. And there I kind of found the power of creativity and creative fellowship and just what I was able to not only give myself by being creative, but the energy that kind of comes out of you when you're being creative and how that can be absorbed by the people around you. Because even the community in prison, it doesn't matter what kind of mentality people are on. If they see art, they're in awe. You know, they're like, wow, that's special. And it inspires. It's cool to see that inspiration kind of spread and be like a common language amongst criminals in prison, you know, and being up in that art program as a tutor and being able to like mentor other artists, you know, all of that prison life stuff didn't matter. And we were able to really connect and grow as artists in a really cool space. I was released from incarceration 4 years ago, and I continued my pursuit in the arts, and I was in college for graphic design, and I had been a professional tattoo artist before that, but I really wasn't sure if I was going to go back to the tattoo industry just out of concern for myself and just the lifestyle surrounding where I was with tattooing before. I really didn't want to reinvite a lot of negative energy back into my life. So I was trying to just focus on being a graphic designer, but my really good friend opened up a tattoo shop. I started tattooing there. And then I was asked by Colin Cash and a good friend of ours named Aubrey to sort of lead these sober creative events. And they asked me to guide a group through a painting. I found myself back into that like inspiration moment where I could just feel like, oh my gosh, this is magic, you know? And this just, especially in recovery, when you're living oftentimes in that like one day at a time aspect, any sort of tools that you can have to get you through that day are priceless. And I think creativity can help people in all forms of social crisis, whether it is like relapse triggers or anxiety or, you know, depression. I think that just picking up something as simple as a pencil and a piece of paper and just getting through that day, it makes it so much easier to escape your thoughts. I did a couple of those creative events and I really started to identify that this, not just tattooing, this sharing creativity is probably going to be my life's mission, you know? And I was able to identify that pretty quick. Yeah, I think that's where I first started to experience and have a calling towards doing something like Art Shelf and not just tattooing.
That's great. Thanks. And to step back even further, do you remember like your first drawing, your first painting, or the first artwork that you've completed? How did you get into that? Like, what did you first start out with?
So when I was like 6 years old, maybe a little younger than that, my mom always told me I was 6 years old. So I kind of go with that number. But we were at my grandma's house and I was playing in their porch and I saw this piece of artwork on the wall. It was like this like scribble design, and then each little shape that the scribble made, there was like different patterns and shapes inside of those shapes. And I remember being in that porch and seeing that and being like, that is amazing. Grandma, what is this? And they were like, oh, your mom made that. No way my mom made this. You know what I mean? And my mom came in there and she's like, yeah, I did that in an art class when I was in college. And I remember it just blowing my mind, right? And my mom was like, you know, let's sit down. I'll show you how to do it. And she gave me a pencil and we did like some, you know, big scribble lines and then filled in each little pocket with some cool stuff. And I remember that being like the moment when I was just sold. And I was like, holy cow, this is absolutely amazing. My mind was blown. And Like, I remember doing 1,000 of those, but that first one that I shared with my mom was just intense, you know? And yeah, that was, I can never forget that.
That's awesome. And you and your mom have shared some art experiences, right? Like she was one of the first people or the first person that you tattooed?
Absolutely. My introduction to the tattoo world was ridiculous. You know, this really cool artist in Northeast Minneapolis kind of gave me a shot at being a tattoo apprentice just based off my art. And I tattooed a grapefruit and he was like, that is good. And it was all like, do you think your mom would let you tattoo her? And because I had told him that, you know, the first person I was ever going to tattoo was going to be my mom. And I was surprised when like that night he was all like, do you think your mom would let you tattoo her? And I was like, yeah, probably. And I called her and she came through and was just like, you know, I guess whatever you want to do, I'll let you tattoo it. And I think I just drew it on with markers and it was so sketchy and not clean, but it was definitely my introduction to the tattoo world. And, you know, when I knew I was going to start tattooing, I knew I was going to tattoo my mom first. Cause like my mom was like my best friend ever. You know what I mean? And I remember her saying that she would let me tattoo her if I became a tattoo artist. And, you know, I was just blown away by that because my mom was not the type. My mom didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She watched soap operas and drank Diet Coke. The fact that she was willing to get a tattoo was just super cool. And it was on my mom's leg and it definitely hurt. But she was all about it.
Was it both of your first tattoos?
It was my mom's first tattoo and it was the first tattoo I ever did. And it was on the first day I ever even held a tattoo machine.
Wow.
So is there an overall philosophy behind the tattoos that you like to do or just paintings that you like to paint?
I definitely, this year especially, found myself drawn to doing indigenous floral work. I'm the type of tattoo artist, though, where I will generally tattoo whatever. As long as it's not, like, hate-based or doesn't come from, like, a negative place, I enjoy tattooing all things. Tattoos definitely carry a huge part of my heart and fill my cup a lot. I definitely do enjoy doing those. And I don't want to say more. But I could probably say more. You know what I mean? I definitely feel drawn to tattooing indigenous themed tattoos more, but it doesn't take away from the joy that I have of tattooing conventional tattoo designs. And I do love having range. I like not being painted into one tattoo style or another. I like color tattoos. I like the black and gray tattoos. I like fine line tattoos. And pretty much I just like making art. But indigenous culture and heritage for me is something fairly new. You know, the first 33 years of my life, I really wasn't raised around culture. And when I was around it, I was either drinking and partying. I knew enough that I shouldn't come around when I'm like that. You know, my dad was really into culture and community and stuff. And I know he struggled with alcohol addiction and he carried a lot of shame with that. But, you know, he would sober up to go to ceremonies and, you know, would encourage me to sober up to go, but always stress that if I wasn't in a good way to not go. To be 6+ years sober now and be able to go to ceremony and be involved in culture, I think that's when, you know, the big fire inside of me started being lit, where I'm drawn now to doing more culture-related artwork and culture-related tattoos.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us a bit about Iktomi Tattoo and kind of the vibe at that place?
It definitely has a vibe. Iktomi Tattoo was, you know, a business project that was kind of offered to me as an opportunity by some of my friends that own businesses and essentially gave me the opportunity to be elevated as a business owner and an entrepreneur. They encouraged me when I was working at my friend's shop to start doing my own billing and start an LLC and kind of start managing my income that way. That went well. And I remember when I got out of prison, they were like, hey, if you ever want to do a tattoo shop or something, let us know. We'll definitely, you know, help you with that. And then when the time came, they were like, running your own LLC looks like it's doing good. If you want to get into your own tattoo shop, start looking for spaces and we'll help you get into one. I lived in South Minneapolis at the time. And so I obviously started looking in my neighborhood and I found the space that we're at now. And I was essentially just kind of like driving up and down the cool neighborhoods in South Minneapolis until I saw a for rent sign and I'd check it out. And I initially reached out to these property owners for a building that's one building away. And then when they contacted me about that space, they're like, there's a lot of work to be done in this building, but we have another space two buildings up if you want to go check that out. So we walked over here and we looked into it and yeah, I was sold. It's super cool because it's like, it's a renovated warehouse. You know, it's come a long way from when I first saw it, but I definitely love the energy in there, not just as a space, but from the artists that we have working there, right? And also just the way that, to me, it feels like home because obviously I put a lot of myself into that space, but I think it has a good like reflection of Indigenous culture, Indigenous artwork, and just this sort of like basement layer vibe in the best way possible. Nice and open, and we have a good sound system going in there. We have like, really cool TV stuff. It's a nice hangout. And right next door is my art center. So people that come in are welcome to come through here and like do paintings or draw while they wait. So it's definitely a special space.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Willard Mailbear Jr., Lakota artist, who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in South Minneapolis. He's also the CEO and owner of Unified Theory Collective and is executive chairman of Art Shelf.
I've been kind of thinking about something birch tree related because, you know, I love the birch tree look. I don't have a tattoo yet that like really has something with my native identity attached to it. And I'm trying to think of some epic thing I could do, but I don't know. I need to think about it. Are there trends right now?
I feel like there's like eras to tattooing more so than trends. A trend that I've seen are people wanting these really fine lines, sort of like abstract tribal stuff. I don't remember who kind of made that famous on Instagram, but I've seen requests from that. But I think like we're sort of in this era of encyclopedic looking floral work where it's a lot of it's just these like really sort of scientific looking drawings of flowers. Other than that, though, I can't think.
Glow in the dark?
Yeah. So that era was like three eras ago. Every other email was, do you use glow in the dark ink? People always asking, I got this UV ink. Is there any way you can, you know, have you ever tattooed its face with UV ink? And it's like, no, I haven't yet.
I was surprised. I had to get my sleeve touched up. And I also added a tribute to one of my buddies who passed. But I was surprised that now they have this like skin, like fake skin stuff. I don't know. It's like a better technique to heal. It's that stuff that you just like kind of stretch over the skin.
When I got out of incarceration is when I, you know, when I got back into the tattoo shop and I saw them like peeling off the stickers and putting it on people. I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's the future. The future is now. Like this is the best way to heal tattoos. And yeah, my mind was blown, but it definitely works and it's an amazing product and it just promotes such better healing. It's so cool.
I was amazed. Technology today, you know?
Yeah.
But I just really want to ask about Unified Theory Collective.
I'm the owner of Unified Theory Collective. It shares the building with the tattoo shop. So, you know, Unified Theory Collective was started to sort of be a collective of business members and organizations that essentially gave us some funds for advertising, and we took those advertising funds and bought art supplies with them. And so the community could come in and use the art space on a pay what you can sliding scale. But, you know, that way people could come in and have access to creative materials and have it essentially be sponsored by a collective of businesses that, you know, sought to provide this resource to the community as a source of wellness. And when people come in, I'll just tell them they can go, whatever's on the stairs you can have. I had the idea to write art shelf on the wall. And that's when it clicked. I was like, art shelf. Did some research, and the art shelf baby was born literally in the womb of Unified Theory Collective.
Well, you've done a lot of amazing things, Willard. That's really wonderful. And it sounds like you're definitely giving props to those around you too. So in that same vein, Willard, who would you say are some heroes or mentors that you've had?
First and foremost, my children, who are by far some of the biggest teachers in my life. And beyond that, my Lakota Dakota mentor, Shishoka Duda, has truly brought so much knowledge and culture into my life. And he made me feel so welcome to come into the community. I was definitely feeling like an outsider for the longest time. Especially at my core, I'm shy. I was always like really nervous about kind of getting into culture. And, you know, mentors like Shishoka Duda and the Owen family from Prairie Island, you know, they've all absolutely knocked down those things that were in my head keeping me from culture by, you know, inviting me to ceremonies and teaching me things and just like opening up my heart and my mind to Lakota and Dakota culture.
To tag on to that, like, what would you say to people who are trying to get sober or maybe in recovery and just want to, you know, rise up and get out of that and help their community?
I just try to spread that message to people that it wasn't that long ago that I gave up on myself and was out there doing crime in this very community. And if it wasn't for a select few people that, you know, believed in me, I probably wouldn't be here.
That was great.
Yeah, it was super fun. I feel like I need to do more. A couple organizations, a business. Wow, very impressive.
But, I, you know, it's that great theme that goes through a lot of these episodes where people realize a need. With him, it was, you know, that creativity.
Absolutely.
Miigwech to Willard Mailbear Jr., a Lakota artist who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in South Minneapolis. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
It's a jazz soul double bill you won't want to miss. Thursday, March 20th and Friday, March 21st, the Parkway brings you Madeline Peyrue and Betty Levette.
Madeline Peyrue returns to Minneapolis with her captivating new album, Let's Walk. It's a blues-infused, jazz with pizzazz masterwork of beauty, sensibility, and honesty.
But she's not alone. Legendary soul diva Betty Levette is with her. It's said that Betty Levette is like Frank Sinatra, Billie Holiday, and Miles Davis all rolled into one incredible performer. Her latest release, Levette, is a tour de force powered by her soul mastery.
Tickets for Madeline Peyrue and Betty Levette can be found at the Parkway's website. Visit theparkwaytheater.com for more details.
So the weather, Edwin Axon. My name is Dak Abdi. I'll be the new host of a radio show called Edwin Axon. Good Sunday, happening here every Sunday on KFAI 90.3 Community Radio